Ling said. Several of these remarkable herbivores live here at Jurassic Park.
Oh, I don't think so, Tim, Ed Regis said. Not a raptor. I did! Stop the car!
There was a babble on the intercom as the news was relayed to Grant and Malcolm.
Tim says he saw a raptor.
Where?
Back at the field.
Let's go back and look.
We can't go back, Ed Regis said. We can only go forward. The cars are programmed.
We can't go back? Grant said.
No, Regis said. Sorry. You see, it's kind of a ride.
Tim, this is Professor Malcolm, said a voice cutting in on the intercom. I have just one question for you about this raptor. How old would you say it was?
Older than the baby we saw today, Tim said, and younger than the big adults in the pen. The adults were 6 feet tall. This one was about half that size.
That's fine, Malcolm said.
I only saw it for a second, Tim said.
I'm sure it wasn't a raptor, Ed Regis said. It couldn't possibly be a raptor. Must have been one of the offies. They're always jumping their fences. We have a hell of a time with them.
I know I saw a raptor, Tim said.
I'm hungry,
Lex said. She was starting to whine. In the control room, Arnold turned to Wu.
What do you think the kid saw?
I think it must have been an offie.
Arnold nodded.
We have trouble tracking offies because they spend so much time in the trees.
The offies were an exception to the usual minute-to-minute control they maintained over the animals. The computers were constantly losing and picking up the offies as they went into the trees and then came down again.
What burns me, Hammond said, is that we have made this wonderful park, this fantastic park, and our very first visitors are going through it like accountants, just looking for problems. They aren't experiencing the wonder of it at all.
That's their problem, Arnold said. We can't make them experience wonder. The intercom clicked and Arnold heard a voice drawl.
John, this is the NB over at the dock. We haven't finished offloading, but I'm looking at that storm pattern south of us. I'd rather not be tied up here if this chop gets any worse.
Arnold turned to the monitor showing the cargo vessel, which was moored at the dock on the east side of the island. He pressed the radio button.
How much left to do, Jim? Just the three final equipment containers. I haven't checked the manifest, but I assume you can wait another 2 weeks for it. We're not well berthed here, you know, and we're 100 miles offshore. You're requesting permission to leave?
Yes, John.
I want that equipment, Hammond said. That's equipment for the labs. We need it.
Yes, Arnold said, but you didn't want to put money into a storm barrier to protect the pier, so we don't have a good harbor. If the storm gets worse, the ship will be pounded against the dock. I've seen ships lost that way. Then you've got all the other expenses, replacement of the vessel, plus salvage to clear your dock, and you can't use your dock until you do.
Hammond gave a dismissing wave.
Get them out of there.
Permission to leave, Anby, Arnold said into the radio. See you in 2 weeks, the voice said.
On the video monitor, they saw the crew on the decks, casting off the lines. Arnold turned back to the main console bank. He saw the land cruisers moving through fields of steam.
Where are they now? Hammond said.
It looks like the south fields, Arnold said.
The southern end of the island had more volcanic activity than the north.
That means they should be almost to the Stegos. I'm sure they'll stop and see what Harding is doing.
Stegosaur. As the land cruiser came to a stop, Ellie Sattler stared through the plumes of steam at the Stegosaur.